All right, don't say anything stupid now. No.
I mean, this is the movie we're talking about, so to say something stupid is kind of required.
That's very true.
Ah, this movie. Oh, I'm so excited. All right, you guys ready?
Yeah, all this is staying in, by the way.
So in that case, hello, everyone, and welcome to Podcast in the Woods. As always, I am your co-host, Gabby, joining my wonderful and amazing and insanely talented host, Boomer. Hi, Booms.
Hello, hello, Dr. Satan.
I am so fucking excited for several reasons. Number one, it's my revenge for all of the shit that you have put me through. Number two, our very best friend Nooms is here.
Hey, from Movies team. For Days.
And you guys can't see what he just did. He held up his beer because number three, the reason I'm so excited is we are all drinking at 11 o'clock in the morning. Actually, I'm an hour ahead of you guys.
I was going to say, I'm drinking at 10 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
Why are we drinking today so early on a Sunday? What's the reason for the season?
A little thing we like to call the happening.
Bum bum!
Yeah. I wish I could do a maniacal laugh, but I can't. So my revenge today is The Happening, the 2008 disaster dumpster fire of one of the greatest bad movies of all time. Written and directed by Mr. M. Night Shyamalan.
I don't know if I can't even say his name. I can say his name, M. Night Shyamalan. No, I can't say his name, but I also
can't say his name. You never can.
No, I can't ever say his name, but I also, yeah, because of this movie, it's He Who Must Not Be Named. But also I can't type his name. Like every time I ended up trying to text you about this movie, it was like M. Night Shyamalan.
You add a lot of extra ans to that.
Well, autocorrect. Spell check doesn't help you out with a name like Shyamalan. You fucking get a red line under that no matter what you do. And then it autocorrects to Shambam or some bullcrap. Yeah, Boomer, I'm curious. Yeah. What horrible thing did you do to Gabby? What cinema crime did you foist upon her to make her say to herself, I am going to bring forth the most perfect revenge, the most hateful thing she could do, forcing us to watch and talk about The Happening? And everyone, take a drink every time we say The Happening or Terrorist.
I think part of it was, well, it started with Paranormal Highway, which actually that was a lot of fun to talk about. And then there was, which was not my fault, let the record show, although I do love it, was Bloody Muscle Bodybuilder in Hell. That was a Dewey Pod Monsters pick, so that was not my fault. But I think I really broke Gabby's brain when I suggested Dead Alive, as the listeners out there can attest. She was not a fan of that film.
Shattered. And Booms, I have our Spotify page up. You missed a few. Okay.
All good.
Let's go back.
She brought receipts, bro. She brought receipts.
I brought receipts. Let's start with The Sadness.
Oh, that's a great movie.
That's a good
Moving on
movie.
To good. Fucking Men.
That's a great
movie. Poughkeepsie Tapes. Funny Games.
No. Poughkeepsie Tapes was your choice. That was your choice.
Oh, that was my choice. Oh,
yes.
That was my first revenge.
Yeah, that movie fucking
All right.
sucks.
Moving on. Times of the Future.
Oh, I love
Paranormal
that.
Highway.
Great movie.
Raw. Kingdom of the Spiders.
Raw is so good.
Mutant Cat
was great.
I had so much fun with that I give a pass.
Okay, let the record show. Raw was also your choice.
I hated that movie. I don't give a fuck. I blame you. Blood Rage I kind of did like.
Blood Rage is fucking great.
Bustle Body Bloody Builder Hell Man. Hated it. Demon Wind. Thank you. Let's not forget Demon Wind.
Demon Wind was why we had Dice on the show. So that, I mean, there was a reason behind that one.
Cemetery Man.
Great. Also great.
Got a good cover. That's all I know. Good cover on that one.
Yes. Dead Alive.
Dead Alive is so good. You don't watch Dead Alive, you don't get the Yankee dollars. I fucking love that movie. I Kick Ass for the Lord. Oh, yeah. That was a good episode y'all did. It was fun to listen to.
That was, yeah, I love that.
Wasn't fun to experience. I will never, ever, ever forgive you for Ichi the motherfucking killer.
Ooh, yeah, good one. My wife also hates that movie.
News. I literally got sick. It she made me sick.
She got sick watching
I
that movie.
I got sick.
You'll never forget the experience, will you? That's an effective film.
And you know who else will never forget the experience? Boomer.
No. That'll be...
I won't let him.
I know. That'll be an episode. We've got to cover Ichi the Killer at some point on the show.
I will have laryngitis that week. Sorry.
That will be...
I'll be talking all about how it's like a Batman movie in like a real sneaky way. It's a Batman Joker love story.
Okay. Well, since Newman's our guest, actually, Newman, before we get into any more of this, do you want to give your plugs for what you do? And then I have an interesting question for you, like that Gabby and I have asked several times to people, but it's the paranormal activity question, Gabby. But why don't you plug your show first? Tell us what you do, and then we'll. I'm interested to know what you think about that one.
Surely. Well, I mean, thank you for having me back. I always enjoy chatting with you guys. My show, your show, a random park that we've all decided to meet up in and do drugs. Like, whatever. I just love talking to you guys. It's always such a good time. And anybody who likes hearing my voice can hear more of it at my podcast, Movies 4 Days. Movies is spelled regular. 4 is the number 4. And days is spelled DAYZ because I grew up in the 90s. Extreme. It's a different movie every week. I brand myself as the non-pretentious, easy access movie chat podcast. I'm generally smoking weed. I'm generally having a good time with my guests. We joke around a lot, but I do like to do a lot of research into the movie. It's all about examination and celebration. We don't get too negative on my show. And I have probably some form of undiagnosed ADHD, so I don't like to do the same thing all the time. So every Friday, you'll hear a different episode of Movies for Days with a different guest on a different movie. And there's about 10 sub-series that you can get down on. They range from dog movies to Batman movies to classic movies that I do with my actual mom. So there's always something different at the network. We're just fucking crazy for movies. We love it all day, all night. So come check that out. I'm on Spotify, Audible. I'm on Twitter. I'm on the Slasher app because I love horror movies and Gabby's my friend.
Yay.
I'm on Podcast Addict. Now, you know, if you listen to podcasts, you probably have access to some Movies for Days. Look for the black and white logo that looks like I downloaded off of goddamn Google Images and then wrote in little weak-ass purple font. I'm not a computer guy. I'm a movie guy.
I feel that. And guys, you owe it to yourself to check out all the stuff that he does. All those links, as always, will be down in the description. Gabby loves the show. I love the show. We love Newman. We're excited. Like, the intro to this is so much fun, but I cannot wait to get into this. But
so what's this paranormal activity question? I got to ask. What's
all right.
This
what is just what is your opinion? Do you like paranormal activity?
Short answer. Not really. Longer answer, you know, it's a movie that the people who don't like Blair Witch always talk about how they appreciate it and they recognize that it's a part of the movement, the development of the found footage film and a time when we were getting people back into theaters to see horror at a greater rate. So I actually like Blair Witch. Paranormal Activity, I have a bit of reverence for, but I saw 3 of them. I think the third one is the only one that I actually enjoyed as a movie and thought it was kind of clever and fun.
Yeah.
I have a question for Boomer then.
Okay.
What's your point?
You know, that was your first attempt at a revenge episode. So this is the ultimate revenge because, God, I was watching this movie this time. I'm like, oh, my God. But that was your first attempt. And I boomered my way out of it, which is another word for weasel. That's like a synonym, I think. But I weaseled my way out of
it. I would agree with that.
That's kind of how I looked watching The Happening, you know? I was twitching.
Drink.
I was giggling. Sometimes it hurt. I was twitching a lot.
Well, for anybody who might not know about the happening, I mean, I'll give a little bit of the IMDb. Obviously, we already said, written and directed by M. Night Shyamalan, starring Mark Wahlberg as Elliot, Zooey Deschanel as Alma, John Leguizamo as Julian, the little wide-eyed girl as Jess. I didn't bother to find her name.
She's not very
IMDb
good.
Synopsis. She's not that good. No offense to child actresses. Sorry. A science teacher, his wife, and a young girl struggle to survive a plague that causes those infected to commit suicide. Now, with that being said, everyone, I want to give a disclaimer. We are going to be making fun of this movie. It is an absurd, ridiculous, and objectively bad film. However, the plot in this movie centers around suicide. So if this is a trigger for you, you might want to skip this episode. Our feelings will not be hurt. But if you choose to continue, please understand that we are in absolutely no way making fun of suicide. If you've been listening, know we've been completely open about our own mental health journeys, and we always advocate for it, and we'll be here for anyone struggling. So please don't take anything that we say to heart, because we're going to be talking about really ridiculously stupid ways in which people are killing themselves. But it's not their fault. It's the wind.
It's the plants.
The plants, yeah.
And the lack of hot dogs. I think if everyone had hot dogs and plastic plants, this movie is pro plastic plants.
All right, so let's dive right into that topic then, because that was one of the first things that like stuck out to me. Obviously, like, you're supposed to try to take this film seriously, but...
Are you?
I mean, I think so. All right. So, yes, if you read the synopsis, right, you're like, oh, my gosh, you know, this is a very, like, difficult film to watch. And it's, oh, man, some of the themes are so heavy and, you know, some of the content is so heavy. And I understand that. And Gabby, just, you know, you talked about that, like we have been very open about what we have dealt with. However, I cannot watch a man lie in front of a lawnmower and it like slowly go over the top of him without like cracking up and not taking anything you fucking do seriously.
The methods of suicide get increasingly more ridiculous as it goes on, and it's like things that might not even kill you. And if they did, they would take a very, very long time. So it's like, I don't know. This movie's ridiculous. This movie is the cinematic equivalent of drinking an entire fifth of whiskey to yourself in an hour and a half. It melts your brain. It just displays a complete lack of understanding of humans and how humans interact. It's Shyamalan. Like, I almost feel like you have to talk about where he was in his career to adequately look at this movie, because he, up through Signs, people were taking him seriously. There were people saying he was the next Spielberg because he made these exciting, terrifying films with great cinematography and tension and dread and lighting and character, like family dynamics that really pulled people in. I didn't like Signs, but I agree. Most people did, and it's very well made for what it is. Yeah, I'm in the minority, and I totally dig that. But after that, the turn happened. The Visit, The Village. Everybody was like, "What the fuck?" Okay, that's a rare miss. Let's give him a chance. And then Lady in the Water, fucking Last Airbender, fucking After Earth. I'm like, it just got bad, and somewhere in the twist of all of that, we have this, which feels like some kind of weird ass. He said in an interview that he kind of wanted it to be like The Blob from the 50s, where, you know, it's this sci-fi horror weirdness that's affecting everybody and we're watching everyone react to it, but it's kind of campy and silly. And yeah, I don't know if he said that good after the fact. Good point. It feels like nobody really knows what kind of movie they're in, especially Zooey Deschanel, but also the editor. Like, the editing in this is so awful. A quick example, when the train stops in Filbert. Oh, hey, guys, we're in Filbert. Why Filbert? Anyway, He's talking to all the train people and like, we've lost contact, sir. What do you mean with who? Everyone. And they're all standing there very still in their uniforms with their hats. And it's supposed to be like a trailer line. It's supposed to be like scary. Whoa, dread, right? Right before the camera cuts, there's one little dude whose head is mostly covered, but not all the way covered in the back of like the train officials. And he nods his head. It's like as if, Boomer, you said, don't fuck with my daughter. And we all stood there really still. And then after the moment had really passed, I went, yeah. Then we cut to a new, that's dumb and funny and weird. And it's shit like that through the whole movie. It's not just bad acting and bad direction. It's bad editing.
Bad writing.
And bad, horrible writing. His writing is so awful. And it's really on display in this one. Don't you take my daughter's hand unless you mean it. What
the fuck does that even mean?
What the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah.
I think he saw The Suicide Club. It's a Japanese movie from 2001. It's really good. Y'all know that one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course I fucking know that movie.
Well, I was going to, Booms, of course, knows this one. I think he saw that, and then he wanted to do something like that, but also wrapped up in this post 9/11, you know, terror hysteria. And also he wanted to shove in a weird climate, you know, climate change environmentalist message. And it's just a, as you said, it's a dumpster fire.
I have a theory about this movie, though, because I think that it's hard to argue that the opening of the film, the first couple scenes, are really good. And they really catch you. Like, they hook you. That the girl is just sitting in the park with her friend. She takes that fucking thing out of her and just shoves it in her neck. And then the imagery of the workers jumping off the building and nobody knows why. I mean, like, that was, to me personally, I thought that was really interesting. And I was like, oh, this is going to be really good.
I agree. I think all that works except for the opening of that construction scene. Because this is another moment.
Oh, the guys?
Yeah, they're talking and they're doing the end of a joke that we, the audience, didn't hear the beginning of. Now, this is an old film trick. People do it all the time. But there's a correct way to do that. You jump.
You don't do it with a joke.
What's that?
You don't do it with the punchline of a
joke. Like, you just do the punchline. Just the punchline. We hear like three or four sentences leading up to the punchline. Bad editing, bad filmmaking.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, I think that this started out as a really good idea. And I think that maybe he might have started with those opening scenes. But then it kind of went off the rails completely. And I think he either ran out of ideas for it, or he didn't give a shit about it, or he just wanted to make some money. I don't know. But I really want to know if this is like one of the best kept secrets in Hollywood, that like this movie is bad on purpose. Because I'm sorry. Say what you will about Mark Wahlberg. I think he's a good fucking actor. Boogie Nights, The Departed, The Fighter.
He's actually quite good at I Heart Huckabees as well.
Yeah.
I think
The Other Guys, he's fucking hilarious. And The Other Guys,
I think Mark,
he can do anything.
Wahlberg is good in a, that's the only thing I would disagree with is the very last thing you said, that he can do anything. I think he's really good when he does specific things, specific parts, and specific directors who know how to use his talent. I think Zooey Deschanel, similarly, is really good when she's just doing the Zooey Deschanel thing.
Her eyes make me want to fucking scream.
Everything about her in this movie makes me want to scream. And it's like the way she's written, the way she shot and lit, the focus on her eyes, all of the direction she was given, because she's clearly doing what the director told her to do.
Which is
it
this.
It just comes off as nuts. Yeah. And like that twitchy
like
thing
it.
Where she's like looking at her phone and she kind of reaches toward it and then pulls her hands. But it's just, it's all so unnatural and unhuman-like. It's, oh my God. Boomer, I'm sorry. We're just going, man. We're going. Get in there. Who's more off-putting and unhuman in this movie? Maki Mock or Zooey the New Girl?
So, okay, here we go. There's a lot to unpack here. I agree with Gabby as far as part of that opening. I remember because I've only seen this film one other time, because I'm like, no, until Gabby forced me to watch it this time. And I'm like, son of a bitch. Okay, I gotta watch that.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I remember really liking the opening scene of this film, and I still kind of do. Now, that when the two women in the park, I don't like it as much as I remember liking it the first time. Because like you, I remember, hey, the opening scene is pretty good. The rest of the film is complete shit. You know how some people say that there are films that are near and dear to their heart? Like, this is a film that is near and dear to my ass. I remember liking the opening scene okay, but like rewatching it, the camera angles are so weird on the two women in the park and that whole first portion that it's kind of distracting. And then when you go into the construction worker scene, which I think you're right, is fantastic. That image of them falling off the roof is just harrowing. That is complete nightmare fuel. But I mean, some of that kind of gets taken away with the music that they chose for that scene. Like, I honestly, like, I really didn't even notice like the joke type thing, but the music in that is so weird. And it's almost not, I mean, it's not a comparison, but it would be like the, you know, something equally as weird as if you would have put like the Dawn of the Dead music, you know, in the middle of them jumping off the scene. You know, that would almost be,
or like weird. Calliope music. Is that what it's called?
The carnival music? Yeah, exactly.
Calliope. Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been hilarious.
Yeah, the music's very bombastic. It's very dramatic. You know, everything about this is very overly dramatic. And again, also very inhuman. The classroom scene is ridiculous. There is no classroom anywhere where the students are all sitting there and paying attention and not interrupting and talking. That doesn't happen. And then when he's like saying, guys, remember the scientific method, and he starts listing it off, but it is the most wordy, lengthy. That is not how that works. You find like one word for everything. So it would be like, if you want the kids to chant it back, sorry, I'm in education, so this is up my ass right now. If you want the kids to be like chanting it back and remembering it, it's not a complex sentence for every bullet point. It's one fucking word. Like, hypothesis, experiment, synthesis, review, repeat. That's good, guys. Have a good weekend. Like, that's how you would fucking do that. So again, it's just all these things where it's like, did you not consult anyone in the real world? Did this all just come out of your weird Shyamalan head? Because people do not behave this way, bro. And so, yeah, Gabby, like you were saying, was it bad on purpose? Or are they just saying that 10 years later because that's an adequate defense when it's just so hilarious?
I've never heard anybody say that this was bad on purpose. That's my theory. As far as the actors, the way that their characters behaved and the way that Mark Wahlberg acted in this movie, he overacted being bad. I don't even know how you do that, but he managed, which is why I say he must be very talented. But if that is in fact the direction that they received from M. Night Shyamalan, Zooey Deschanel, huge star, Mark Wahlberg, one of the biggest stars in the world, John Leguizamo, everybody fucking knows who John Leguizamo is. He's fucking hilarious and amazing, and he's good in drama too. If this is the direction that he's giving, hey, Mark Wahlberg, you're a fucking science teacher. They tend to be really smart. You need to act as stupid as humanly fucking possible through the entire movie. And whenever anybody says anything to you, you're supposed to go, what? That doesn't make any sense.
I'm an inventor. And then I'm a Zooey science Deschanel,
anytime you see somebody directly in your eye line fucking kill themselves in a completely absurd manner, I want you to go like this. Little girl who shall remain nameless. Anytime anything happens and you're being traumatized as a 7-year-old child and watching people literally drop dead and hang from fucking trees in front of you, you need to go like this. And they all did it. Not one of them was like, you know what? I really have my own notes on this scene that I kind of want to go over with you. Nobody said that. I mean, literally, this is the definition of, I'm just here for my check.
There's two big things about this. One, if you make a really great, really successful movie, in this case, The Sixth Sense, you will get chance after chance after chance to recreate that success again, no matter how many stinkers you crank out. Because the other thing about this movie, it made its money back and then some, even though it's terrible. But look at us. We're 2023 and we're still talking about it. So
I will talk about this until 2093.
Telling you. And yeah, so he keeps doing these things. And then also actors and people, like really high profile people in that world, they are really slow to catch up most of the time. Because a lot of the people who signed on to this, they were like, well, he was one of the hottest filmmakers. They're like, I couldn't say no. Why would I say no? And it's like, why would you? Have you been to the movies in the last 5 years? This guy was good and he started sucking. But the people in the industry are so slow to catch up to that kind of crap that they sign on. This was all horribly miscast. These two people have no chemistry together. And it's like, no, that's not reflective of the fact that their marriage is going through a rough patch. It's just bad casting. Because if I want to do a good version of that, I'm going to have people with chemistry so that I can show that there was passion between them. They are going through a rough patch. We can see the connection. We, the audience, want them to get back together. At the end of this, I'm like, just fucking end already. And it's like 3 months later. And it's like, oh, we've adopted this child. Apparently, in 3 months, she had literally no blood relatives. This is just like some fucking parable from the ancient world where if a small child's parents die and the child is like 4 feet away from you, that's your kid now. I mean, who else is going to take care of her, right? And then, oh, pregnancy test positive. Yay. I do not fucking care. Wrap it up already. And then we do the thing that like those 50s movies would do where some scientist guy is explaining everything, right? Which is so stupid because 30 minutes into the movie, they have weird hot dog guy just say what it is. And then they just keep saying that over and over again while the characters, dumb science teacher and wide-eye McGee, sitting there going, do you think it's the plants? Do you think it's the plants? What if it is the plants? Hot dog guy said it was the plants. And then we got a scientist at the very end, like the end of fucking Psycho, telling us, yes, it was the plants. But instead of being like a cold calculating science dude, like you would normally do if you wanted it to be broad strokes 50s sci-fi silly, he talks really weird and nervous, the way everybody in these fucking movies seem to always talk really weird and nervous. And he says, this is so eye-rolling and cringe, and it just angered me. He says the thing the pretty boy teenager said in the first scene of the fucking movie. It's a crazy act of nature. We'll probably never understand it. Oh, wow. M. Night, that is insightful, bro. Like, that's the thing. The movie feels like it's trolling me.
It's a callback, isn't it? No, that's genius. It's a callback. No,
it's so smart. Now it's like something a fucking 19-year-old who's in a film class would have come up with. God damn, that's so smart.
Yeah. I actually think that M. Night Shyamalan is a good director. However, kind of like you were saying, Gabby, with like Mark or like you guys were talking about with Mark Wahlberg, like there's an avenue that he does really well in. And I mean, you could see that like Knock at the Cabin, I really enjoyed. I enjoyed Signs. I enjoyed The Sixth Sense. I think
I
Unbreakable
hated The Sixth Sense. I would like to go on record saying that, by the way.
Okay.
I hated Split, which everybody seemed to say, he's back, baby. And I thought that movie was dumb as fuck. But like that's interesting. Yeah, both of us on either ends of the Shyamalan chronic, journey. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry, Booms.
No, you're fine. I actually like him more than I think most people do because I enjoyed Split. I enjoyed Split, and I also enjoyed The Village. I think The Village is actually pretty good. But when he misses, like when it's something that doesn't make sense for his strengths, like Lady in the Water or this film, it's like, because all of his films, and I'm sure y'all can agree, all of his films have the exact same tone to them. They all have this kind of, you know, off-kilter quirkiness to them, even the dialogue. And when it's something that makes sense, like you're creating a superhero movie in the real world, then it makes sense for your dialogue to be a little bit quirky and off-kilter. And this, that you're trying to make a scientific horror film, doesn't. And yeah, like, I mean, going back to that the opening scene where it's like, again, so harrowing, that the, that picture of them, And then, yeah, you just turn right back to Mark Wahlberg, or you go straight to Mark Wahlberg saying, what do you guys think about the bees? The bees are disappearing. And it's like, it's so...
Oh my God, you sounded just fucking like him.
It's so jarring.
Holy shit.
I'm going to be doing lots of that in this movie. Can we also talk about like how fucking nonsensical... Okay, if y'all want to talk about some of like the kills and stuff like that in this, or however we want to go, but like one of the things that I had to touch on, and it just stuck out to me, I don't know why, but like whenever John Leguizamo is riding with the family, right, and they get affected, it's like that. it's so funny, like the things that they focus on, like the wind or the trees blowing, or it's that slit in the thing, and it's like. You know, that moment, so that, like stupid. When they
it's like
stop.
There's no rules, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, there's no rules.
Who's the person watching that movie for the first time that was like, saw the slit and heard the wind coming in that was really like,
oh no.
Yeah.
But the thing that really stuck out to me in that scene was like, they are literally like probably 500 feet from the tree that they run into. That Jeep has to have fucking turbo booster of nitrous oxide to get up to the speed that it does before it hits that tree.
Ridiculous. Time after time, the movie feels like it has to escalate. It has to escalate the killings. When, to my taste, if it just was the same, if we just saw basically the exact same thing play out every time, maybe everybody walks backwards up to some high place where they can jump. And it doesn't get all creative with how people are killed, I think it would actually have been more effective and it would have been creepier because it's like, dude, this same thing just keeps happening. But the movie thinks it has to escalate. So you've got the guy feeding himself to lions at the zoo.
When you can clearly see his real arm inside his shirt.
That's so stupid. And the lady was like, good God, what kind of terror? No, mother of God, what kind of terrorists are these? Like just the... Everyone has the stupidest lines. Like, they're just horribly written, horribly performed. And then, yeah, the dude fucking says, oh, hang on, I'm going to stop my Jeep here in this little residential area. Yeah, speed limit's about 25. Okay, let's see how quick we can get up to 60 before we get to that tree that's like 4 feet in front of us. Like, yeah, I'm exaggerating, but it's just stupid. Most of the people would... and then gets out of the car. He's like, oh, I'm going to slip my wrist now. And it's weird because... The death is so matter of fact, it feels like the movie wants this to be emotionally impactful, but we haven't actually spent enough time with this guy or really gotten to know him enough for it to be emotionally impactful. So it's just kind of like, what am I supposed to be feeling right now? Like, we're just crossing.
We know that when
off.
He holds his daughter's hand, he needs it.
You know what? He'll give you some facts and some figures, some percentages. People love percentages. Jesus Christ. John Leguizamo is such a good actor. Like, this fucking movie. It melts your brain.
What is the thing? I have a question for you guys, and I don't know if you can answer this. The army guy. What does he shout right before he kills himself?
My sidearm is my friend. I'm never without it. Something like that. It'll never leave
my
side.
Is that a thing that they have? Do they say that in the military?
No, it's M. Night Shyamalan that watched Full Metal Jacket and said, this movie is a masterpiece. And it's a play on that. And it's fucking atrocious. Yeah. So there's the suicide scene in that. And that is legitimately, and that's not a horror movie, but that's legitimately terrifying. And it's sad. So that's
so he
his
took
play
that
on that
from an actual suicide scene in a different film.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
What's well, it's like that whole military basic training trope, that it's done perfectly in Full Metal Jacket, but you do see it in other movies where, like, you know, the drill sergeant has everybody repeat a big chant. In Full Metal Jacket, one of them was, this is my rifle, this is my gun, this is for fighting, this is for fun. And then
is that when they grab their dick?
Yeah.
I know that. Yeah. Okay. I know that.
Exactly. It's shit like that. But it's like this, and I know this guy went on to be on Succession, and I've never watched that show, but I know everyone loves it, and they say he's a great actor. He was the worst person to have as, I don't I know he's a private, and I know that he's dealing with next level shit that he never thought he'd be the highest rank dealing with this situation. But on his uniform are the letters MP. This character is supposed to be at least somewhat accustomed to having authority over others, to enforcing rules over military personnel. It's just stupid and short-sighted and inhuman for him to be bouncing around like Rick Moranis in Little Shop of Horrors. Oh, gee, we got God. I don't know what we're gonna do. Okay. Let's look at the map. No. It's terrible. It's stupid. It makes no sense. It drove me nuts. And the other thing that drives me nuts is the gun suicides in these movies. Because again, M. Night, buddy, nobody fucking takes a gun and shoots themselves in the middle of their own forehead. That happens, like, so stupid rare, bro. This is how lazy you all were when you made this thing. You shoot yourself in the mouth. You shoot yourself over here at your temple. You could have done that. Maybe it would have taken a little more effort. But it looks so fucking ridiculous with people shooting themselves like... No one does that, bro! This movie just, it's so inhuman and weird.
The MP character reminded me of... like the teenager on The Simpsons. Oh, sir, I don't.
I got to check with my manager. I don't think that's allowed, sir. Yeah, 100%, Booms. 100%.
How about the kids? The teenagers that just, like, become part of it?
And become psychopaths all of a sudden?
And just are like, Littleton, bitch! Like, what? And starts, like, kicking down the door? Like, okay, there's more houses, you little fucking weirdo.
There are so many, just these things just have to happen, you know? I remember when I first saw this, Gabby, because you said, hey, we're doing this thing, we're gonna get Boomer with this one. And I was like, beautiful, I've never seen that movie, because I always heard it was terrible. So when I first watched it, and that scene where the kids get shot by a gun that just, we don't see anybody, it's just a dude in there who's like, go away, y'all got the terrorist virus, get out of here. It's like, okay, so just go. Stop. What do we? We're singing "All Backwater." Keep on rolling, Mississippi.
That makes me laugh every single time.
Yeah, we're perfectly normal. We're normal. I'm a science teacher. These are kids. A little girl needs some food. Come on. Jesus, fucking gag me with this shit.
I mean, Mark Wahlberg in this is an obvious sociopath. Like, he was planning on killing that old woman and taking her house. Like, you can tell, like, what? Yeah, like he wanted in that house so he could just murder everyone in there. And then, yeah, like, are you thinking of killing me in my sleep? What? No. Yeah, I totally was. I was going, that was my plan the whole time.
She read his mind with her crazy old lady powers, because M. Night Shyamalan gotta have a moment in the movie where we just go, old people are freaky and weird. Here's an old lady, she's freaky and weird. It was just like these vignettes that only seemed like they were sort of strung together, because why do they keep leaving shelter? They keep having shelter, and then they say, we can't stay here. Why? No one else is in that house. Like, when they were in the model home,
you guys want to know something? I was just about to fucking defend the movie. They keep leaving because they found out that it was in crowds. You couldn't be in a crowd. So they left the model house because if the more people came, then they were in a crowd and they were going to get killed. So that's why they left. And then they left the other house because they got teenagers killed. Oh. No guilt about that, by the way.
I was like, when that happened, I was like, whoa. It kept feeling like he was running out of ideas. Like, he was painting himself into a corner. And he was just like, okay, now this. And then, like, finally, when the old lady's killed herself, and she shows up again in Split. Ugh, for God's sake. And
based upon her amazing work in this film.
Exactly, right? He said, you were such a good creepy old lady. Come back and be a creepy old lady again. But not in my movie that's specifically about a creepy old lady. Do it again later. Then they do the Night of the Living Dead ending, where it's like, well, we're all just going to sit here in a basement. And it ends because I don't know. I couldn't think of anything.
No,
so
it ends with
say,
them well, going out in a blaze of glory. We're going to walk into the field hand in hand. We're going to let the breeze come over us. And then we're just going to all commit suicide. We are going to allow a 7-year-old child to kill herself in a field.
If the movie had any cojones, that's how it would have ended. It would have ended with them killing themselves and being okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, well, he's notorious for his, like, sappy endings, but it's so abrupt, right? Like, so in a better movie, Gabby, and, like, please comment on this, right? Because we've seen, you know, these kind of movies where there is either a scene or the whole film is kind of, like, insular, right? I mean, it's kind of like a one-set location. It's very claustrophobic. Now, that ending, you know, where they're separated and stuff like that in a good movie could have been very dramatic and very heartfelt.
Very powerful.
But like, yes, it lasts like 2 minutes and they're like, oh, you know, we're going to talk through this fucking pipe. The fucking lady just randomly talks about, like, how many fucking times do you go to somebody's house and like, you know what? Let's talk about slavery. Like,
hey, house were on the Underground Railroad, I would tell people that because that's pretty fucking cool.
No, it is cool. It is cool, but it's not the first fucking thing that you bring up in dinner. You know, I mean, it's kind of like,
I live in Pennsylvania. There's a lot of Underground Railroad stops around here.
No, the first thing you do is you,
and I'm very proud of
that, offer them a glass of lemon drink because that's the polite thing to do.
Boomer. And then slap the child.
And slap the child at...
And then slap the child.
Like, this is such a little detail thing, but it's like she then offers her a cookie by picking it up herself and giving it to her. It's like, what? You pick up the plate and you gesture for the, you weirdo.
You a bitch. I don't know you. Your hands have been on
that.
You
touching my cookie.
Yeah. Don't touch the food that the other person is going to eat if
and
you can
also,
help
I'm
it.
And also, I'm a
Come
child
on,
that
weirdo.
Just got slapped. I probably don't want the cookie anymore. Cookie. I don't want this. Like, but terrified because... some weird old lady that fed her lemon drink just slapped the shit out of her.
Lemon drink and kill. And then she's got a weird doll in her room. Again, that's there for no reason. It's just weird. You know, it's like, I don't know. When did the boy come out?
He was setting up the Annabelle universe.
Yeah, right? He just throws all this crap in here. It's just like, what? What is this? And why? And yeah, Booms, like you were saying, she's sitting there going like, well, this will be important later.
Yeah, exactly.
This will be important later. And that also could have been so cool if they were stuck apart, but they could hear everything as if the person's right next to you. How creepy and awesome would it have been if one or both Jess and
Alma.
Thank you, Alma, started turning and he couldn't do anything about it. He just had to listen, or vice versa. How fucking cool would that have been? Or if Jess started turning,
scary.
And Alma was stuck in a room with her and she's not turning and she doesn't understand why, but little girl is, and Marky Mark Wahlberg can't do anything but listen and be freaked out. That would have been awesome, but no, I don't do any of that shit. It just stops. And he has a line about that too, where he's like, well, this is what happens with these scientific events. You know, these nature events, sometimes they peak and then they stop.
New might be the new Mark Wahlberg sound alike winner.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he definitely is. But I mean, if they had done that in this film, it would have been so, you know, Alma's turn and he would have been like, Alma, no, don't do that. I love you. I swear. It would just been a fucking mess. Like, I feel like the little girl getting a fucking cookie shoved in her face. Like, no, I don't want this. Like, I don't fucking want this fucking film.
Do you guys, do you remember Andy's, what's his last name? Andy, Samberg did the skit on Saturday Night Live. Mark Wahlberg talks to animals.
No, I've never seen that.
I haven't either.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It is the funniest thing that you'll ever see in your entire life. But the way that Andy Samberg does Mark Wahlberg is the way that Mark Wahlberg tries to be the exact opposite of, if that makes sense, when he's acting in this movie. Because Andy Samberg is so Mark Wahlberg in all of his best roles, intense and like bossed in and like fucked up. And then Mark Wahlberg in this movie is trying to be as non-Mark Wahlberg as humanly possible, that it's like he becomes a caricature of himself as a person, like what he's known for. I had a point, but I started drinking it at 11 a.m.
This movie, I blame the movie. Thank you, M. Night. None of us can drive now, you dick.
This was made for Mystery Science Theater.
Oh, that was
seriously. I'm just yelling at the screen the whole time I'm watching it.
That would have been perfect. Well, yeah. Not only that, so you can tell that this he's trying to take this movie seriously, because not only does it have the environmental themes, like this is like, oh, you know, Godzilla versus the Swag Monster of horror, but it has like it has those environmental themes, but it also has like a lot of social commentary in it that he's trying to do. Like the scene that really sticks out to me is when they're in the field and MP and all those people are killing themselves, and fucking Zoe Deschanel is like, we can't leave those people to kill themselves, because people that do that are assholes and we're not assholes. And then they start walking towards the fucking danger with the children.
Yeah, we can't just stand here as unaffected observers. It's like, yeah, that's a collection of words that a person would say. just over and over again in this movie. And like automatically too, when John Leguizamo is talking to Marky Mark at the beginning of the movie, when things just, also, you don't pull all the teachers out of the classrooms and then leave the students unattended. That doesn't happen.
Unsupervised and alone at a Philadelphia inner city high school?
Seriously, no. No, that does not happen, okay? I don't care if it is Cameron from fucking Ferris Bueller. It doesn't happen. That's just stupid. And then also when he was like, ah, you know, my mom's on the phone. She's hysterical. And I get it's 08 and I get he's a man, but I just am who I am. And when I hear a man refer to a woman as being hysterical, I immediately go, all right, I don't take you very seriously as a person right now. It's like,
yeah, I'm like, surprised there's no like Sean Connery, like slaps, like get a hold of yourself, woman.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's like, well, we all have to worry about these kids. They're probably worried about the terrorist attack. And also the women, they're going to be acting hysterical. So let's all get guns. And let's all pray. All right, I mean, excellent.
You remember what the treatment for hysteria used to be. I wouldn't mind being called hysterical.
I can't remember. Was it lobotomy or was it getting the, how do I delicately put this? The crazy
the
fuck
doctor fucking rubbed her off.
I mean,
say it for what it is. I'm sure. Finger banged the hysteria right the fuck out of her.
Yeah, I'm sure today we would, you know, we'd have, it'd be more sanitary. There would be gloves, there would be lotions, but you know, ultimately, yes, I think this is a service I would like to go in for sometime.
I had no idea. I was hysterical a lot. So I don't know.
I'm the calmest woman on the planet. Ha! Get it?
Oh yeah. Right. The promotion on this episode is just going to go through the roof at this point. That's the clip you need to use for,
yeah,
the,
exactly,
for the bumper. You know.
All of a sudden, we have 100 new listeners.
Grass can talk to trees, and trees can talk to bushes, and they can release chemicals that do, like, oh my god, it's just, the whole movie is just moving in one direction as if it's interesting and revelatory, and it's just silly and weird and clunky.
Yeah,
the whole time.
Outrun the
you
wind.
It would have been kind of cool if they had been stuck on that train.
That would have been cool.
Although, I live in Pennsylvania. It's not that easy to get a train that goes all the way across the state.
Also, why do all the times that they give us, why are they all hyper-specific? At 9:31, it began. And it ended at 11:33. M. Night, fuck off with that shit. Nobody does that. And with the way this whole thing happened and developed, also, it's more with nature, but it's also more with people. So it can't occur. It doesn't occur in rural areas at first. At first, it's in heavy metropolitan areas, which famously don't have a lot of greenery. Like, this whole thing makes no sense the more you try to just examine it as just a basic construct of logic.
Yeah. Well, did anybody else notice that M. Night Shyamalan is actually apparently a extreme staunch conservative, because apparently what the message of this film is we have to burn down the rainforest, kill the trees, you know, destroy everything before it kills us.
The moment of the movie that really made me laugh the first time I saw it was after some horrific death happened. I can't remember who it was. It was some horrific death that we see, and it's at the, you know, it was cartoonishly silly. Hard cut to, dude, it was the fucking lawnmower guy. It was the lawnmower guy letting himself get run over by the giant power mower, which BT dubs was done better in South Park when their fucking shop teacher wanted to kill himself on the table saw, and he was letting himself get, like, pushed toward the table saw feet first, and then he stops and goes, wait, what the hell am I doing? And he turns around, so he's head first. He's like, whew, that would have hurt like hell. That's what it made me think of. After we see the mower roll on top of him, it's a hard cut to an advertisement billboard. In the top of the billboard, it says, you deserve this.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, subtle, M. Night, subtle.
Yeah, what it was, it was like 340 new homes coming up on this, you know, this beautiful grassland. Like,
you see, because to make homes, we destroy the environment. Ah, that's really deep. Get Marky Mark in here. We got a movie to make.
It was funny when he talked to the plastic tree.
Oh my god, hysterical. The plastic tree.
That was funny. Was funny. That was comic relief. I thought that was funny. That was obviously funny on purpose.
The movie's very entertaining. I hit my brother up this morning to say this might be like one of the most entertaining bad movies of the modern age. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. This is a Riff Tracks movie. I mean, it's perfect for that. Because you could watch this, and believe me, I have a little secret that I was planning on sharing with you guys on this episode. We didn't go over first watches really on this one, because who cares? It's fucking The Happening.
And this basically was my first watch.
The first time I watched this, remember pay-per-view that you paid the money and then you had it for 24 hours on that one channel? And if you paid for it and it was in the middle of the movie, you had to wait a couple hours until it started over? Oh my god,
I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
You remember this, right? I rented this movie on pay-per-view the day it came out. I watched it, sat through the credits, and then watched it again. I watched it twice in a row the first time, because I knew that there was something really special about this movie and how fucking bad it is.
Yeah, you knew that a few years into the future that you were going to have to fuck over somebody with this movie, and you needed to be well acquainted with it.
And then I found the one.
And it was like Oppenheimer. You were watching this and you turned to someone and said, this is history.
All right. We're talking about Oppenheimer. We're talking about all this stuff. Could I please just get a goddamn second? Would somebody please give me a second?
Boomer, do something. We can't just sit here not talking about The Happening. Boomer, do something. What do? They're killing children on the other side of that hill. God, what is this movie? Gabby, what have you done?
If ever there was a movie or an episode that we did that we should release the video, it is this one. Because nobody can see how funny your faces are. I mean, at one point, I looked over at Boomer and he was like this, like just completely head in hands. What the hell am I doing here? It was pretty great. I had that feeling a lot.
It's so stupid. Now I'm curious what y'all think about this. So that ending scene, the last scene in France, was that just like kind of a, you know, a dark ending, or did M. Night Shyamalan think he was actually going to get a sequel to this movie?
I think it's just part of wanting to be like the 50s camp sci-fi that just ended on a, oh no, kind of thing.
Yeah, one of those things or like if it was the 50s and this was a drive-in movie, the words "the end" would have come up, and yeah. then a question mark would have come up after, like, you know, at the end of the end.
Yeah.
But there wouldn't have been a sequel. Yeah, it didn't. It felt just like what Gabby said. I felt like sort of a scary stinger at the end, like, ooh, but they haven't defeated it. These French people are fucked. but yeah, because he didn't start doing sequels and franchisey shit until everyone else was doing that. And he was like, I can do that too. I fucking hate Split. Fuck Split.
You know, you actually, speaking of like the 50s vibe in this, like you remember during that time, like the big thing was 3D again, like 80s and now not now, because they could squeeze every fucking dollar out of everything. But it was not only that, but I forget who was it that made it famous, but like the actual like 4D stuff. So like you would go watch a movie and there would be shit flying around, or you'd get water sprayed in your face or something like
that. Mellovision.
Yeah. This movie needs a re-release in theaters to where you watch it in 4D and there's all that stuff. But at the end, it just like electrocutes the shit out of your ass. And you're like, yeah, I deserve that for paying money for this film.
Okay, so what else we got with this? Because that's the thing. Like, I came into this for the first time with The Happening, knowing its legacy, knowing its reputation. So even though I do agree the opening scenes are done pretty darn well, they're still kind of Shyamalan, and you know, it's still like, okay, well, Suicide Club did this better 6 years ago, but okay. I couldn't be pulled in and say like, oh man, this looked so good, and then you fucked it up. I was looking for the cracks in the seams from the beginning. So like, was that really your experience when you first came to this? You were kind of like going off at the beginning saying, well, this is pretty cool. Okay, let's see where this goes. And then it just progressively got more silly.
Look at his filmography, because I feel like I was coming off of Signs when I saw this. And I was excited because I actually had, one of the reasons that I loved Signs so much is, I got to see it with my little sister and her friend. I took them to the drive-in to see Signs. And we sat outside the car. Well, they sat outside the car. I sat in the car. And to be out in a field during like that movie, that they live in a giant cornfield, and like that was such a cool experience. I hated The Sixth Sense because, and I'm not trying to sound smart because I'm horrible at guessing anything when it comes to movies. I figured it out in the beginning. When he smashed the jewelry store window, I was like, oh, he's a ghost. Like, oh, is that what this is about? And I kept waiting for something like, oh, that's what this is. I hated it. So I've never been a huge Shyamalan fan, which is funny, Booms. You seem to be kind of a big Shyamalan fan, and you cannot pronounce his name. I think that you should work on that.
We'll, I can't pronounce lessons. Anybody's name. I mean, that's the
that
thing.
Is true too. Yeah.
But
my name is actually Catherine, but he can't pronounce it, so he calls me Gabby.
I'm sorry, Boomer. We were afraid to tell you. We've been waiting until now.
But that's it's not true. Actually, my name is Gabby. But anyway.
I remember, though, this film coming out, and it was kind of the marketing for this film was kind of in response to Lady of the Water, because they're like, oh, you like M. Night Shyamalan. He's I see I've gone back to doing it.
Now you fucked it up again. It's okay.
He has done some really good things, but this right here is his first R-rated films. Dun, 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 you know? So it was like going to be all crazy and stuff like that. So going into it, I did like a few of his films. So going into it, I was relatively excited, and I watched the opening scene and I'm like, ooh. And then it turns to the bees and I'm like, hmm. And then as it went along, I was like, oh no.
If I was going to chart my experience, it began with a hmm, okay. And it ended with a, oh, that's unfortunate.
I would like to point out that the reason for The Happening is women, ladies. Should the grass and the trees and the leaves and the bushes and the flowers start speaking to each other and killing us all off? It's because you ate tiramisu with one of your coworkers.
I'm so glad we brought this up because this was another thing. She keeps getting calls from Joey. I guess Joey was played by M. Night Shyamalan, but we don't see that scene, so I'm guessing it got cut out of the movie. Thank heavens. That's something I hate about him. He puts himself in his movies, and it's annoying, and it's distracting, and it's stupid. And I can't explain why I don't feel the same way when Tarantino does it. I just don't feel the same way when Tarantino does it.
Reservoir Dogs.
Because Tarantino can act. He can act. That's the difference.
Okay.
What the hell else is there to say about The Happening anyway, you guys? It's not terrorists, except that it is. The terrorists are we.
And the trees are just defending themselves.
The counter terrorists.
And the wind will follow you. Watch out. The wind blows whatever from the leaves and the trees and the grass. Don't think about it too hard. It's scary. It's scary. Hey, watch out.
I had a game. Now I have two games. The okay. First game is, what celebrity, if you had to choose, would any of us like look like? Nooms, Bruce Willis.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start squinting a lot.
Yeah.
I'll purse my lips and I'll squint and I got it, right?
Yeah. You actually look like you were holding in a fart, but that's okay.
Bruce Willis always looks like he's holding a fart. That's the Bruce Willis face. It's like blue steel, but bald.
Well, then you did it.
Thank you.
It was a little blue steel. I loved it. Okay. I've been told by one person, I've never been told I look like anybody, but one person told me a couple weeks ago that I look like Bryce Dallas Howard in Jurassic World. I literally think it's because I have a bob and red hair.
Can you
can you
take your glasses off and then give us a smile as if you're a corporate tool with nothing in your head?
Should I brush my bangs?
Oh, definitely, yes. Give us some bangs if you please.
They're split. I don't know if I can. Okay. And a brainless.
A big corporate smile. Yeah. I see it.
Like that?
Yeah, I see some Bryce Dallas Howard from Jurassic World. What do you say, Booms?
Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on.
Booms?
No, Booms.
Yeah, I'm trying to place you. I feel like you'd fit in great in a John Waters movie that took place like in the 50s, like in the movie Crybaby. I feel like you could be like one of the really like crisp. I think they call, what do they call them in that? They're like the more soshy, preppy sort of dudes. If we like shaved your face, you could be part of a barbershop quartet.
I would take John Waters. There was somebody the other day,
Booms, I was looking at you and I was like, that's who he looks like. And I can't fucking remember who it was.
It's
sent it to you though, didn't I?
Screech from Saved by the Bell.
False.
Okay, those are good screech eyes. You gave us great screech face right there. But you know who I'm thinking actually? Christian Campbell. Did you ever see Reefer Madness?
the lead
who plays Jimmy in Reefer Madness, Christian Campbell, who is Nev Campbell's brother and can dance and sing like you wouldn't believe, you especially with the hair and the I think you've got a bit of a Christian Campbell face.
I'll take that. That's more flattering.
He's a cutie, bro.
Okay. I wish I could remember who that was.
Who told you?
Because like as soon Bryce as Dallas I thought Howard? It, I was like, how did I never notice this? Huh?
The person who said you look like Bryce Dallas Howard, you can't remember who that is?
No, that was my friend. No, the person that I thought Booms looked like. I cannot for the fucking life of me remember. Damn it. But anyway, I do agree with Christian Campbell. On to game number two. It's a guessing game. Without checking your phones, what do you think the IMDb rating for The Happening is? Audience and Metascore.
Is the Metascore out of 10?
That's the critics.
The, or is it a percentage?
Out of 100.
Out of 100? Okay. Booms, you want to go first?
You want to be wrong first? Okay, sure. I will say that the audience score for this, oh man, that's hard. I'll say 4 out of 10 on IMDb for the audience score. And out of Metacritic's, I will say 0%.
Okay. Nooms? Is he thinking really hard or did we lose him?
I think we lost him.
No. Okay, hopefully he comes back. I will tell you in the meantime the correct answer. 5 out of 10.
Wow,
and a 34.
That's high.
Audiences are split right down the middle.
That's a lot higher than I thought it was going to be. Well, not a lot higher. I said 4 out of 10, so not,
yeah.
Not.
I can't be the only person that loves this movie for how horrible it is.
Well, obviously.
A lot of people like movies for, yeah, he's gone. Nooms, I hope you come back. If you don't, thank you so much for being here. All right, one last. I want to know your Rotten Tomato guess.
I can't give my Rotten Tomato guess because I've seen the Rotten Tomatoes. It's 18%, if I remember right.
18% critics, 24% audience.
Yeah. I've seen the Rotten Tomatoes. I hadn't seen the other two, but I did see Rotten Tomatoes.
I think obviously we're not going to do ratings today because, yeah, I think we've all made our points.
Oh yeah.
Is there anything else that you want to say about The Happening?
So just final thoughts on The Happening. It's a big fucking stupid dumpster fire, but if you have friends, this is one of those movies though. If you do have friends and you're drinking, it's probably a good time. But if you're watching this by yourself, sober, just putting this on in your living room, it's not a good movie.
I think that this movie would be hilarious to watch with somebody on a bad acid trip and then put them outside.
Yeah.
They would freak the fuck out. My final thoughts. You know, I hate stupid shit. And I fucking love this movie. It is what stupid is supposed to be. And it's great. It's exactly what stupid should be. It's so bad, it's bad. And to see some of the greatest actors that we know, John Leguizamo and Mark Wahlberg, which I will die on my hill. I think Mark Wahlberg's a great fucking actor. Zooey Deschanel, no, she just has big eyes. To see them almost on purpose being bad actors. I loved it. I love it.
Yeah, okay. Well, if we were going to give it a rating, this would be like masturbating with poison ivy out of 5.
Ouch. I've never had poison ivy. Does it hurt or does it itch?
It itches.
Or both? No. All right, well, I bet you can predict what they said, but Booms posted on Twitter asking, what does everybody think of The Happening? Dissect that film. Hi, guys. This is the only movie I've ever walked out of. Damn. I still have never seen the whole thing, and hopefully I won't have to for a very long time. Watch it. It's hilarious. I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I'll drink and watch it with you.
Pretty nice deal.
Best of both worlds. Is it? Is a dog? Is a dog?
I do my best.
I don't know how to. Yeah. I mean, your doggy picture is adorable. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name. I was in high school when this came out and beyond excited to experience my own Sixth Sense movie in theaters. Oh, boo. Needless to say, major letdown. Broke my trust in M. Night Shyamalan. Haven't seen a film of his in theaters since. It was a short story dragged into a feature-length film. Okay. B.A.D. I enjoy M. Night's movies. I was first in line for this movie on opening night. I think he meant hated this movie. The one movie of his that needed a twist and nothing. The acting is bad. The idea is bad. It's all bad. Troma and Roger Corman movies make The Happening look low budget bad. I have seen a lot of movies. I would rather watch Salem. Holy shit. Than The Happening. Do not watch this movie. It's not bad good. It's bad and a waste of time. If I ever meet M. Night or Marky Mark, I'm going to beat them for taking my money. Who is this person? They are mad. But I do like the gift that he put at the bottom. That was funny. And speaking of this gift that they put down at the bottom of their response, do you think that Mark Wahlberg's nostrils got sore from flaring them through the entire movie?
I don't know if he was flaring
them. Because my eyes hurt from doing the Zooey Deschanel wide eye like two or three times. My eyes are sore now. But like, I can't even. Can you flare your nostrils?
No. But I don't know if he was flaring them or if the camera angle was just look, up his nose the entire time.
No, he's flaring his nostrils. He looks like he has a little pig nose. He looks like that episode of Twilight Zone, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows that you just saw the most attractive version of Gabby that anybody will ever see for the rest of their lives. David, it's overall a meh movie, but I still quite enjoyed the premise of it, and it had some creepy deaths. Thank you, friend. This is good. Super Slash Brothers podcast. Well, .. It happened. Cynthia Denny. Hey, girl. Well, I enjoyed this movie. The idea that nature is the monster who is after us is delightful. We have the whole world, but nowhere to hide. And nature causing us to kill ourselves is quite efficient. Okay. We thought it was hilarious, but I like your opinion. And thank you for liking it, Cynthia. Oh, and you know who had to respond? Dewey Pod Monster! Hi, guys. Isn't this the one where the dude slaps the lion? If no, it needs a dude slapping a lion.
And then Damien King...
Damien King replied to this, what a dog shit film that was. They responded to Dewey. All right, well... there's that. And while we're talking about Twitter, booms to find us on their podcasting platforms and give us a 5-star review. And I don't know how many people have done that because I don't pay attention to those things. However, you did bring to my attention a certain, troll. He left us not a very nice review. Can you please explain again, because you haven't 100 times to people, where did you come up with the title for this podcast?
Okay. So podcasting was very personal for me. And the way that I came up with it. So one, I grew up in the country. So I grew up literally living in the woods. Two, my favorite film of all time is Evil Dead 2. And that is the start of the Cabin in the Woods movies. So, you know, based upon those two things, you know, I'm kind of a progressive country bumpkin. If there is such a thing, then that is me. So that's how I kind of came up with the title. And yeah, we did get a negative review. And hey, more power to you if you do not like what we do. Hey, that's fine. I understand that this show is not for everybody. We are a bit crass. We drink all the time. And there are times, especially like this one, where we talk shit. And so I know that we are not for everyone out there. However, we do love those wonderful, wonderful, crazy weirdos that listen to our show. But this fucking jackass accused us of fucking redubbing their podcast, which is like the fucking craziest thing, because Gabby, you know, we fucking work our ass off on this stuff. So it kind of pissed me off.
I've watched a lot of really fucked up movies for this fucking podcast.
Exactly. So it kind of pissed us off a little bit. So Yeah, I mean, we are on Twitter and Instagram at Woods Podcast One, and we do appreciate when you listen and leave, you know, your review, a 5-star review if you like the show. Whenever you guys give us feedback, whenever y'all give us those ratings on the podcasting platforms, we appreciate it, and it means so much to us. And I think, forgetting like all the rest of them. Do you want to do our Patreon, because your friend is the...
No, I want to say my piece.
Okay, say your piece. Yeah, because you really went into it, which a lot of people were very happy about. I think I can't remember who it was, but they were like, I love like something about like, I love pissed off Gabby.
I'm Gabby. I am the co-host to my very good, very creative, very hardworking friend, Boomer. Boomer started this podcast with an idea in his head. He had something that meant something to him. Cabins in the woods. Do you know how many motherfucking people in this world grew up spending their summers at cabins in the woods? Do you know how many people like to do podcasting? Hey, podcast in the woods. Guess what? You aren't the first motherfucker to fucking come up with it. Neither was Booms. You're not that fucking creative either. And let's not forget, why are you still looking your shit up 3 fucking years later after you stopped fucking recording? You didn't even have enough of a listener base to keep going with your fucking podcast. Are you jerking off using your tears for lube because you're so fucking sad that you couldn't get your shit off the fucking ground that you still look back on it so you can feel good about yourself and see your reviews that maybe one or two of your family members left? You're a fucking troll. Good luck in your motherfucking mother's basement, fucking hanging out, wishing for days gone by, you fucking troll. And guess what? I think out of all of the film review podcasts in the world, there are more horror movie review podcasts than there are anywhere else. And do you know the one fucking compliment that we get from a lot of fucking people is that we don't review movies that everybody else reviews. We review movies that people might have forgotten about, or people might have thought about seeing, but they didn't. Stuff that people haven't heard of as often. I've never heard your fucking podcast. I have no desire to hear your fucking podcast, and I couldn't hear your fucking podcast if I wanted to, because as soon as Boom sent me this, I tried to find your podcast, and I can't. So go feel sorry for yourself. Leave my fucking friend alone and shut your fucking mouth. Close your laptop and go the fuck to bed, okay? Sit down. You have nothing to contribute to any of this. And you should be fucking ashamed of yourself. If you were an actual professional fucking podcaster, you would know that trolling on somebody else's podcast is so fucking wrong. And nobody who actually takes their place in the podcasting world seriously would ever do that to another fucking podcast, you bitter fucking bitch. Fuck you. Fuck everything about you. Take several seats and go home. We're done. You made a fucking fool out of yourself. And if you have anything fucking else to say, gabby.podcastinthewoods@gmail.com. Email me, bitch. I'll have a conversation with you one on fucking one. Don't ever come after my friend again. And speaking of emails, if you wanted to talk to us privately about anything, what is it? Woods Podcast, what is it? Gmail.com.
Yeah, so that was amazing. So mic drop, but, and yeah, the email is podcastinthewoods@gmail.com.
Or gabby.podcastinthewoods@gmail.com.
Yep.
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram, both at Woods Podcast One. You can find us on Slasher at Podcast in the Woods. You can also find us on Facebook, search Podcast in the Woods. Look for our logo or whatever that little thumbnail thing is called. Find us on all of the podcasting platforms. Listen to us. Tell your friends to listen to us. Leave us a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 star review. We don't care. If you're going to leave us a lower star review, give us some constructive criticism. Tell us why. Tell us what you feel like we should, what we should do to improve. I don't mind hearing constructive criticism. I know Booms doesn't. It's cool, but we do like the 5-star review. It helps us. Talk to us on Twitter. Talk to us on Instagram. Listen to us. And if you want to, I don't know, throw us a couple dollars, you could become a patron. Go to patreon.com. What is it? What's the link to patreon.com?
/Woods Podcast.
/Woods Podcast. We will give you a shout out on every episode, like I'm about to do to my very, very, very best friend in the whole wide world, Christina J. Hi, friend. I love you so much. Thank you again. And I think that should just about wrap it up. I've been texting back and forth with Nooms, and he has to like restart his router and stuff. So I don't think there's much left to wait for him for. So I think it's just about time to say goodbye. Thank you so much for humoring me and watching this movie.
This was a lot of fun to talk about. Same kind of thing with Paranormal Highway. Not a lot of fun to watch, but it was a lot of fun to talk about.
The thing with Paranormal Highway, though, is like we started drinking when we started recording because we did start in the morning. Paranormal Highway, when we record, I don't even remember that episode. I had to get so drunk to watch it, and then I had to get so drunk to talk about it. I was fucking wasted.
Yeah.
But thinking about it does kind of make me want not the pizza, but a little cup of that garlic butter sauce from Papa John's.
That's true. Yeah.
It's good.
It is good.
And one more time, Newman, I'm really, really sorry that it looks like he texted his computer router crashed, whatever. It sucks that he's not here to say goodbye with us, but Newman, thank you so, so much. Every time you come on the show, it's a fucking blast. We love you so much. Anywhere that you can find Movies for Days, which I'll do this from the beginning. Movies spelled regularly, the number 4 and Days with a Z. Find them on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere. Listen to them on all of the podcasting platforms. And then links to all of his stuff will be down in the description. Thank you, Nooms. Thank you, Boomsy. And I think it's time. Say goodnight, Boomer.
Wait, it's time to say goodnight? What? No.
And as always, stay scary.